そう。
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Look on my desk and bring me those koofies. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Akhmaduhu, Wasta'inahu, Wasta'dihi, Wasta'filrahu. Ashadu lay lahadatuhu la sharika lahu, Ashadu anna Muhammada abduhu rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu alaykum al-rila musallim Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise is due, I seek his assistance. All praise is due to Allah, I seek his assistance, I seek his guidance, and I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant at his message. Look at my bag. Okay. Or on it's got to be in there. If it ain't on my desk, it's on my bag. Okay. I bear witness there's no God but Allah, one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant at his messenger. All praise due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings be on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his companions and his family. Ameen. Shukran. All praise due to Allah. We seek refuge from Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise is due to Allah, who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayat. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessing and my favor upon you and chose al-Islam as your way of life. All praise due to Allah, who united the hearts of the believers with al-Islam and has made it an obligation to remain united and made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise you as well as I advise myself first to have regard, taqwa for Allah, the Most High, and obey him. Dear Muslim believers, I could finally say, Assalamu alaikum, Juma Mubarak, and I pray Allah forgive me for my timely errors. I've explained that I really don't know how I got put into a zone where time just was not a factor to me at all, until it was mentioned to me, Juma starts in a few minutes and where you going? So I thank Allah for everybody's patience, and I pray Allah we have something to benefit today for that patience. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alam tarai inna Allahu sakkara lakum ma fi samawati وما في الأرض وأسباق إلا إليكم نعمه ظاهرات وباطنات ومن الناس من Yajadilu fi Allahi bigadri ilmin wala hudan wala kitabin munil. And we say salakallah within. The expression is as far as he refuges against the shaitan of rejected. Do you not see that Allah has made subject to you whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and amply bestowed upon you his favors, apparent and unapparent? But of the people is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or an enlightening book. And that is the 20th ayat of the 31st surah of the Holy Quran. And we say, surely Allah speaks the truth. Today's clip by title, inshallah. The gifts of Allah. The gifts of Allah. In a report of Hadith on authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that Allah, the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, said that Allah does not shower his blessings from the heavens that in the morning a group of men disbelieve in it, that it is a blessing from Allah, and Allah sends down rain, but they, that the disbelievers say, such and such star is responsible for it. And now the narration of Abu Huraira, the Prophet, peace and blessed be upon him, said, if anyone invokes blessings on me once, Allah will bless him 10 times. If anyone invokes blessings on Muhammad one time, Allah will bless him 10 times. So we praise Allah, first and foremost. Highly glorified is he. Today being another chance for us to come back to that original nature, come back to our original settings, come back to our original purpose in life, and that is as a servant of Allah, first and foremost. And, you know, a lot can happen in 1 week's time. As we've been, especially this year, we've learned a lot can happen in 1 week's time. And this is why we also have the 5 daily salats that we have, and the prescribed reading of the Quran, because this life under the filter of the shaitan is rough on the world. It is rough on the creation when, in my thoughts, you know, and preparation for today's khutbah was, you know, really a beginning of last week. Because I knew the date of today's khutbah. I knew the day, what the day was going to signify. And I've talked about this before, that sometimes the dates of the khutbah is a gift in a subject. And I understand what today means. Today for us is Jumu'ah. Today, Friday, is Jumu'ah for us. So it's very significant for us. So anything that falls on Friday, the second is number two in comparative speaking. First for us is Jumu'ah. Then everything else falls after that. But we know that for so many around the world, what it means today. But now, and I also saw that this year has truly brought us a lot of togetherness when it comes to our dates, when it comes to our sacred dates and our holy dates, however you want to describe it. And during the early part of the pandemic in April, I believe we had all three faiths have something going on at the same time. We had the month of Ramadan, we had Passover, we had Easter, you know, all going on at the same time. And this was not by accident. We believe in the Qadr. Allah is in control and has designed what we're going through. Now we have today, the most important day for us again as Muslims, to be on the same day that's important for many other faiths, because we're during the Hanukkah period, right? And we're also during the, of course, being the 25th of December, we understand that there's a lot of faiths that are dealing with, and there's some other faiths too, there's some other things going on right now too, so I don't want to exclude anybody. But for us, we need not try to get around things like they don't exist. You know, Imam was very good on letting us know that we live in a Christian society. You know, we know that we understand in this world we have to coexist. And so we wish our brothers and sisters in the Abrahamic family and those outside of that are celebrating safe, holy days, as well as a lot of our own families, you know. So, and who are celebrating the holy day today, and Allah instructs us not to sever our blood ties. If they haven't asked us to get away from what we believe, then we have to, we don't sever blood ties. So, and even then, we're still supposed to treat them with kindness, right? So, Allahu Akbar. So just a bit of house cleaning as I begin, you know, inshallah. So this was no doubt in my thinking. All of this was in no doubt in my thinking, and I find it's something that I really wanted to share. But I really believe it's the best in a non-Jumu'ah platform, and is the beginning of the study of the ascension. I talked about that a couple weeks ago in our levels of development, and inshallah, I will come with that when we start, you know, the Talib series back up next month. Inshallah, we'll go into that. But even still, my thoughts are still inside of today's topic are coming to the understanding that Allah has always given us something. Right? Allah has always given us something. He not only created us, but then after he has given us something of his will in the form of his spirit to bring us to life, you know, that we are created to live. And today's topic from the Quran addresses that. Allah says, do you not see that Allah has made subject to you whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth? And when Allah says that he has done something, this is no small thing. You know, as humans, we tend to always look at the size of what was done as a way of measuring it. You know, we got to measure how big is what they've done. You know, we got to put a size factor on everything. But we have to learn to live over our lives that it's not the big things that are important, but all the things that, you know, but that there are a lot of things that happen that people take for granted. You know, this week growing up, you know, I had a child who grew up Houdini. One of the members passed away, and he had a verse one of the songs called "One Love," and he said, "It's the little things you do that mean so much." You know, it's the little things you do. So we have to learn not to take things for granted, not look at things that, well, what's the size of it? Well, how big is it? I think I had a discussion, and where I said that somebody received a gift of about, I think, maybe $25. And I said, for a high school person, that's a lot of money. You know, so it's not that it's a small thing. It was a big thing because the gesture, everything behind it, the sincerity, all of that takes away the dollar amount and makes it seem like, you know, you see everything behind it. That may have been $25, but that may have been $25 million worth of love that was given. So that's big. That's the way we have to look at understanding. And so when Allah does something, regardless of what it is, we have to look at it like that, you know. When Allah says, again, that you do not see what we have made subject to you, whatever is in the heavens or whatever in the earth, this means he has compelled something to work for us without payment. Allah has said this. He is not saying that he has given us something that we should dominate or abuse. He's not saying that. And I have not begun to go into what he has gave us yet as far as the heavens and the earth. But when we look at it is when you get a gift. It's something he's giving you. Right? Make something subject to us or service to us as a gift. Right? We're not to break it. We're not to misuse it. You know, gifts are to be used to benefit. And when Allah says in the Quran, and I bring this up for the surface level of understanding right now for the connection that's going to follow, inshallah, when he says, and then he directed himself to the heaven while it was smoke, and he said it to the earth, come willingly or unwillingly. And they said, we come willingly. This should tell us that this is no small thing that he has done for us. And there's a lot of science into that as well. Big Bang Theory, but we're not going to go into that. And by us coming willingly under the command, by them coming willingly under the command of God, the whole creation is not seeking payment. Right? It's seeking to please God. We see that he has already made the heavens and earth come under his command, and it still is. It still is, right? Even if he has made a khalifa upon the earth, right? We're nothing more than an on-site maintenance man. That's what we are. Because he is the owner of the property, right? And let me make that clear, you know. So for today, Allah says again, when he says that, you know, do you not see what I've had made subject to you, all right? And now he has made them come to our service. When Allah asks, do you not see, this word means, it means to perceive. In the meaning, it means to perceive. It means to consider, to contemplate. Now we have begun that journey below the surface meanings. All right? We're being asked to think about something. When the saying, the world is yours, right? You ever heard that saying, you know, the world is yours, right? We begin to see our own world at that point. We think about our own world, and that's fine, but we need to be able to see that it's going further than just me in it. It's the we in it. As a whole, the whole creation is for us. When Allah sent the angel Jibril, alayhi salam, to the Mount Hira, and he sent him with one goal, to bring man's mind, right? Not just any man, but the purest in the nature man, right? The innocence of the man, the original nature of the man who had kept his heart and mind open for what would be put inside of it. And this is all of us. And please, again, remember, by using the word man, you know, I'm not speaking to no gender. I'm speaking to the whole of human, of the human that was created by Allah, both the male and the female, which was then decided and decreed by Allah. And he makes no mistakes. And as I close this first part of today's kippah, if we have not realized that for us to fully live this life and fully live the next life, we have to come to a place in our own thinking, in our own actions, that allow for Allah to, one, show us what he has for us. And then we have to be able to comprehend it. You know, there was something missing when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go up to the retreat for solitude. He was missing something. Right? He went up to the retreat for the solitude. He was soul searching. We can say that. That's what he was doing. You know, after dealing with the world that he was in and all the ills of society, he needed some time away. So he was open. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Amin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The gifts of Allah. The gifts of Allah. You know, see, sometimes we can think our worlds are small. We don't realize how big our worlds and how our worlds connect and how all of that. We think our world is small sometimes. I'm talking in general. And we also think that because we don't realize that we're connected to something that's Akbar. Allah, the great. Right? Something greater. Allah, highly glorified is he. When Jibril showed up, it was time to say, now my creations are ready to come to me. Now I have my creation ready to come fully to me. Right? That is the progression we see in the ascension. Right? And Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, being that step after Adam, him and Yahya. Right, level two, being that step after Adam and alayhi salam in the development, alayhi salam to the prophets in the development, but the last one in revelation before Muhammad was Jesus, right? And I have to hit this, right? Because when we come from our teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, he said this about Samawati, which is the heavens or the sky, and he said this about Ardi, the earth. He said, the sky means spiritual. And he said, the earth means material. So now hold that. Because he also said, and this is all tafsir on this ayat. This is all for this ayat, him discussing this ayat. He also said this. He said that the greatest reward is a reward that meets the soul and touches us spiritually. Right? Remember, we're going back to that soul searching. Right? We're not happy with the worlds that we're in. Then we're soul searching. You know, go back to Muhammad. He was there to receive the revelation, right? He was rewarded in his soul that was seeking. And he received something not just spiritually, but he was also instructed to receive something materially. He was told to take what he had spiritually and now use it with that, with the material world. He was basically given the connection. And for us, the spirit is the same spirit of Jesus alayhi salam. Allah says in the Quran and the Bible that his creation is just like Adam. So we got to understand that's a spirit, that's an intellect. And then it came all to fruition in the end, in the last prophet, the final messenger. And now it was the connection to the material that moved from the spiritual. And that's a sign. And Isa alayhi salam is a sign and a word from his Lord. And we have a tradition reporting that in the end, you will see Jesus and Muhammad together, peace upon the prophets, right? It's our tradition. And so when we get the spiritual and the material to work together, that is the sign we're looking for. That is where we are to go with our lives. All of the prophets bring something for us as a gift, right? Some say talents, things like anything that's inside of you that benefits you, that helps you help others and help the world, that's a talent, that's a gift from God. All of the prophets were gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we look at our world, how long have the two been working separate? Right? Or even against each other? Right? Just look at some, I can say one word, the political landscape. Start, go back to the 80s. And how one spiritual was working against the material. But on the but underneath the spiritual, on that side, but trying to make sure that the material was damaged, was still hoarding the material. Let me move on. One dominating the other, right? Allah has warned of being too extreme, right? Being a middle course, a balanced community. This means we have to have both spiritual and material. Now Allah is telling us that He has given us both of them for our use, for our control. But have we realized it fully? For us to gain from these gifts, and I've called them gifts because for us to be able to ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, read in the creation and see your creator in the works, right? Then we have to come together as that special being who has gone through the levels of development, and the first steps is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Adam alayhi salam created, and he was caused to slip out of that original state, right? It was when he realized what happened, then he recognized that the only way back was to find his creator. When he repented, right? And our repentance is not just seeking forgiveness. Yeah, that's what we repent for. But we also, it's our willingness to accept Allah's will, and His order is what we must follow. We don't just repent to say, I forgive me. No, you got to repent. You got to change your behavior. And after that, then Allah showed him the way. Now, He showed him the way. That does not mean he was back. That's why we live our lives. We come in here to get back. To work to get us back. We have to work to come through all of this, and that is a gift. This is why Allah says, well, asbaga, right? And amply bestowed upon His favors. Asbaga, it means to extend, to complete. When we reach a point that we have now earned Allah giving us for our use and subject to us, the spiritual and material creation, can we imagine what we're talking about here? When we have been given the heavens and the earth for our use, then that is when we are complete. Not that we're done, but we're now worthy of it. Not that we're back and do not have to do anything. No, that's when it has to start. That's when the establishment starts. Once we can get those two in our worlds, Under our influence, under our creation, under our guidance from Allah that He has given us, once we have those two, and it's real simple. Once you're able to realize that, and I've always been praying, but I ain't making no money. Then I'm making some money, but now I ain't praying. Once you have that, and I'm just using those two, because that's common. Once you have that balance. Now it's like, okay, now I can establish what's supposed to be established. But as long as we have that shaitan nature, which has respite, we have to work. You know this word, sabagah, right? It also means coat of mail. Okay? Now listen to this, and I hope Imam Irv is listening to this, inshallah. I know most of us have heard this, right? Have heard that what coat of mail is. We understand what a coat of mail is. It's a jacket covered composed of metal rings and plates. It's what they used back in the day to protect themselves in battle, right? They say that it's stronger than gold. You know, it can keep up basically with iron, as far as so it serves as armor, right? It serves as armor, and this is the Quran. This is a word in the Quran, all right? And the Bible says, and I know this is Juma, but we're students of scriptures, right? And when we look at a day like today, and we know that for some of us, we have family full of Christians and friends, all Christians, a whole lot of Christian friends, right? It's just reality.
We have to be able to understand where we have parallel meanings. And besides that, Allah has commanded us, we need to accept the prophets and the books, right? So, hey, there it is. The Bible says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So the Zabagah, right? Allah has given this, us is to be us to serve in our struggle against the schemes of Shaitan. Allah has told us that they're weak. But evidently we must still need some protection to fight against them. This is why the prophets report that said that when a shower of blessings, Allah does not shower his blessings from the heaven, that in the morning a group of men disbelieve. And Allah does not send rain, but the disbelievers say, oh, such and such star sent it. Now, they're disbelievers. This tells me that some people are not going to believe something good has happened from God, regardless of what it is. It is this disbelief in people that is what we have to fight. Now we can see that the heavens and the earth is not a physical battle or a concrete battle, but it's an abstract battle. And what 2020 has been is the line being drawn in the sand, right? And we are to prepare ourselves for something that is bound to come. You can't read scripture and think that what went on in scripture won't go on in your life. The fight between right and wrong, good and evil. This is something that everyone cannot handle. I understand that Allah knows best. Some worry that we're going to need guns, we're going to need bunkers and everything. Well, this is why we're blessed with a leader for all the systems of knowledge in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know. And again, I bring that up and I use this, I put this in the beginning. I wasn't going to put it in there, but this report of hadith from Abu Huraira is very important. That if anyone blesses the Muhammad, he says, anybody folks blesses on me once, Allah will bless him 10 times. So we need to seek to continue to gain those 10 blessings. So that means even if you're not saying the prayers and the peace be upon them, but you're reading, you're studying, you're doing something, those are invoking blessings because you're learning from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad showed us that it takes our inner beings to overcome what's wrong in the world. Right? And I can say that because, you know, some of our critics, you know, they want to talk about Aristotle saying, well, you know, they were all about fighting. It was all about war. But how many years did they just have to endure and not respond? They don't talk about that. They don't talk about the fact that they sat back and just kept taking the abuse. This shows that it's not a strong person to fight, but it's a strong person to know when to fight, right? Because the prophet is reported to have said, the strong man is not a good wrestler. The strong man is one who controls himself when he's angry. That's why he said, when he gets angry, what you say? Make wudu. That don't work, sit down. That don't work, lay down. He don't say, when you get angry, man, knuckle up. He's favors. Now, am mad. You know, this means favor me, gifted. Allah says a parent and underparent, right? A parent is Zahara. It's distinct. It becomes clear. During our lives, some of these are right in front of us to see. Man, I know that was a blessing from Allah. Ain't no way you're going to tell me it's not. I can see it as clear as day. We don't need to wonder. They're obvious. And I would say for those who are, you know, I would say for those who are conscious, right? They're easily seen. They're easily seen. And then there are those back down there, right? Unapparent. Now these are hidden. These are on the inside. You know, when we say, I didn't know I had it in me. Right? Something that we have no knowledge of. You know, think about our lives. And I think about how I ended up here. Not just on this roster, but period. Some of the things that happened that I look back on, you know, that I saw, but the majority of it, you know, I'm totally, I can look back now, But the majority of it, I was unaware of it as it was happening. Guidance is a blessing. Don't think guidance is a blessing. Actually, guidance is in his eye. I was, another example is, have you ever misplaced your keys? And it's put you maybe 5 to 10 minutes behind your schedule? And the route that you normally take going has a bad accident? But had you been on schedule, you could have been in that accident. Now, you can know it had an accident or not. You don't, but I'm just saying. I'm trying to give you an example of what's apparent and what's unapparent. See how Allah it does what he does in front of you and after the fact. And this is what Allah does for us, stuff that we don't even know he's doing. Some things we've received was better for us without us knowing. Because we are truly unaware of the way Allah makes things happen. But he is working in our interests. We still do not know what Allah will favor us with. What gifts he has for us. We just know that he has decided that at some point in our life, we can reach a level that we are now worthy of having the spiritual and the material worlds come under our control. Not for our ownership, but our maintaining, our doing right by it. Not just the material balance, but the overall balance that provides us an equilibrium to move forward up and move up on the Sabilillah and the Mustaqim. We need to understand just how important that is, because Allah did not say to us in the Quran that I have given you one, but not the other. He said, I have given you both. You know, and in an airplane, for it to function properly, it has to have the right balance. So they can't put things on one side of the airplane and not on the other. So they have to balance everything out. Right, for it to function correctly. And you know, weight and balance, it affects the stability and the performance of the airplane. And if it's too heavy, it'll never get off the ground. Right? That's just like carrying too much burden. You carrying other people's burdens. And you stuck. That's why Allah says you do not have to worry about it. You can only carry what's on your back. Don't try to carry everybody else's burden. If it's out of balance, it may be uncontrollable when it takes flight. That's our life. And obviously, neither of these scenarios will produce an outcome we want. If we are too much of one and not enough of the other, then we will not reach the success we're striving for. This is where we have to have our conscious and our subconscious working. All right? Let's make that connection. You know, the apparent and the unapparent. There are some things in our lives that are conscious behaviors and should trigger subconscious behaviors, right? This is Imam. This is from the Imam, that we go to the right in the end of in the Taslim, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, and then we come back to the left, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. So we start with the conscience and it triggers the subconscious. See, Imam Muhammad. It acknowledges the conscious and then it acknowledges the subconscious. Because in our development, the subconscious is required more than our conscience. This is science. Our balance must be stabilized, spiritual, not physical. This is the Imam speaking, you know, giving us this. Our minds have too much on them. This is what I was told, the reason why I'm sitting around at the house 12, 15, 12, 20, thinking I got time. I was told, literally, you got too much on your mind. And here it is. I put it in the kibbah and told him myself. Allahu Akbar. Our mind has too much on them. If all we do, if we have to do all the thinking, then we're going to be lost. We're going to be in a space. I can bear witness to this. We're going to be in a space that we don't even know what time it is. Adam was the mind created, and the next level is Jesus and John, Isai and Yaki, alayhi salam to all the prophets. They're the next level in the spiritual development. Right? They represent right and wrong. They represent right and wrong. But they also are subconscious. How many times do you remind yourself to breathe? When have you ever told your heart, don't beat this time? We're representing gifts from Allah that are apparent and unapparent. Think, remember, you know, this started with the question from Allah that have you thought about? Do you not recognize that I have given you everything you need for the success in this life and the next? That I have given you things openly and hidden. And I say that this is for the success of our lives because the word na'amah, it also means to lead an easy life. To enjoy the comforts and convenience of life. This is what the gifts of Allah represent for us. Our development that is balanced has to be at a point of being aware and being so aware that we don't even realize it's working for us. This is how we have to get our taqwa. This is why taqwa is part of our DNA. See, our DNA, they use the science, that's the body DNA. But Allah says our taqwa is our DNA. It's in the Quran. That's our DNA. This is what taqwa is, that both sides of our life is to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we end up living our life openly doing what is right and doing what is right when we do not realize we're even doing it. And as I come to the end of this for today, and I'm not going to get to the second part of the ayat, you know, so inshallah, but it's very important. The connection to that is very important. So inshallah, maybe I'll get to it next time. But I thought this was very important, what we talked about so far today, what I presented today, subhanAllah, what I presented today. To look at exactly what Allah has done for us. And then for us to realize we cannot even begin to think that all He has done. Right? Allah says it, but if you can count the favors of Allah, never would you be able to number them. Verily, man is given up to injustice and ingratitude. That injustice and ingratitude is what we're faced with every second of this life. We must be able to fight against this. This is why we've been blessed with an imam for us and for all. You know, you say human salvation, right? You know. And I'm thankful because I've only been in this community. That's a gift from Allah. I've never been anywhere else. I understand that's a gift from Allah. Because I know others that have been other places. And I'm not trying to disparage nobody, but they, you know, they out there. They're not balanced. You know, I consider myself to be a fruit off of that tree as well, right? The Imam, radiallahu anhu, he said, the life of the Ummah is essentially a spiritual and social life. He said, blood and water, spiritual and material. And its future is what? Education. We educate that life, and then that life has a future in the real world Allah has ordered for man, that He has made to be a utility for whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth. And He gave you your supplies, or He supplies you your needs from the skies and from the earth, from the spiritual and the material. Imam Muhammad. This is a comedy made again about this ayah. Our purpose is to educate, right? Iqra. One ourselves and then others. This is what our plight is, right? It is, you know, because of this, you know, there's a caste system that has been created with wealth disparity, racial narratives, and many other ills. Our plight is against the miseducation of Allah's servant. Right? What did Shaitan basically want Adam to do? Don't listen to God. That's what he's basically saying. Don't listen to the best teacher. Don't listen to your creator. Don't listen to your mom. Don't listen to your dad. That's how they're successful in the streets. They get you not to listen to people who have your best interests. That's miseducation. This is why we're told to read. Educate ourselves in Allah. The first revelation is the first revelation for all of us. It cannot be changed. There's no way of going back and saying, no, nah, well, my first ayat is this. No, you can say what your favorite ayat is, but you can't say what the first ayat is. That's already been established. And there was a reason why. Our command is all the same. Everybody has the same command. The issue is, are you willing to accept the challenge? We can overcome the plight if we are educated through what Allah has given us. And when we do that, then we have the spiritual and the material worlds under us. And Allah has said he has made it subject to us. Once we can harness that, then we have everything we need to allow wealth for all. Ain't nowhere in the book that Allah says only some people are supposed to have it. He said if you got it, you're supposed to give it back. It says for everybody. We can eliminate all the ills that are nothing but that has been established in the caste system. Right? I am better than him. I was made of fire and him and he was made of mud. To get out of that takes education. And that begins with serious study of the Quran. It begins with serious study of the observed ways of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophet. Serious study of all the prophets alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, when we can actually realize that whatever we give ourselves, whatever we give ourselves can never equal what Allah has given us. Everything in the creation. Right? Muhammad said, you can give me what in one hand and what in the other hand, right? And it still won't equal what Allah has for me. And I didn't say it because if you don't know it, you need to be studying. That's for everybody. We can realize the life he wants for us. And let us realize that we have been given gifts from Allah. And when we have those gifts, they're for our benefit, right? And I'm going to say this. And we don't want to see them on the floor 2 weeks later, forgot about, right? That's what's going to happen today, right? A lot of gifts going to be on the floor in 2 weeks. They ain't going to be playing with them no more. But Allah has given us a gift that's for the rest of our lives, right? So let us be thankful for the gifts of Allah. And inshallah, I have given some of the benefit today with all praise due to Allah. And if any errors, of course, I'm responsible for. And again, I thank you for your patience. And Allah is the best knower. So, I got any Lord, give us good in this life and give us good in the hereafter and protect us from the torment of the fire. Ameen.